بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم ما بعد. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم ثلاث دعوات مستجابات لا شك فيهن دعوة المظلوم ودعوة المسافر ودعوة الوالد على ولده رواه أبو داود والترمذي وقال حديث حسن وليس في رواية أبي داود على ولده. This hadith we discussed quite a bit in detail yesterday. Just to complete the discussion, Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there are three du'as which are indeed accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Have absolutely no doubt about it. La shakka fihin. Without a doubt, du'as made on three occasions or by three categories of people, without a doubt, are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What we already discussed, just to recap, is that the overriding principle that is found in each of the instances where Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that du'as are definitely accepted, is that these are situations where a person finds himself challenged, finds himself in difficulty or hardship. And normally, when you are faced with difficulty and hardship, then the dua that you make at that time, you make from the heart. So it's not just these three occasions. Whenever you make dua, when dua is made from the heart, then that dua will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَى أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ. Allah says that that person who is in اضطرار, اضطرار means he is desperate, he is in great hardship, at that time when he calls out, إِذَا دَعَى, when he calls out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يُجِيب, Allah accepts such a dua. So coming back to this, Rasulullah ﷺ said, three du'as are accepted without a doubt. First he mentioned the du'a of the oppressed. Like I said, we dealt in detail with this yesterday. Second, du'a of a musafir, pertinent to the chapter which we are discussing of safar. We are encouraged when you are in safar, then make du'a. Utilize that as an opportunity. Another point ulama mentioned that if you look at safar or journey, there are different types. There are what we call safar shari'i, safar mubah, permissible journey, journey for a person is going out for business, etc. These are permissible types of journey. Then there is that journey which is shari'i journey. A person is going for hajj, obligatory farz hajj, or is going for umrah, or is going in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is, on the one hand, not just a journey, but he is being rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it's mentioned that إِذَا كَانَ السَّفَرُ سَفَرُ طَاعَةٍ كَعُمْرَةٍ وَحَجْ فَإِنَّهُ يَزْدَادْ لَكَ قُوَّةً فِي إِجَابَةِ الدُّعَى. Then the dua is even more likely to be accepted by Allah ta'ala. One is in safar, is going through hardship and difficulty, and over and above that, the nature of that safar or journey is the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or if he's out going for jihad, is out in the path of Allah, is the establishment of deen. The third category, this requires a little bit of detail because Imam Nawawi rahimahullah mentions in the ending that there is a slight variation in the expression in the riwayat of Abu Dawood. Da'watul walid ala waladihi. The third dua that is accepted without a doubt. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the dua of a father. The dua of a father against his child. Ala waladihi. In other words, bad dua. The curse. The curse of a father over his son or daughter. Obviously, the only time that a father is going to curse his son or daughter is in an instance where there is what we call uququl walidain. Uququl walidain means the breaking of the rights of a parent. This Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself cursed. You know the famous hadith, as the Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi in his Fazaili Amal or Fazaili Ramadan, he mentions it, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam climbed the minbar and each time said, Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. And when asked to explain what was the three Ameens, he explained that one was it, the dua of Jibreel alayhi salam, that person who finds his parents or one or both of them at old age and fails to gain the forgiveness of Allah Ta'ala through serving those parents. Today forget serving, find elderly parents are the target of vitriol, the target of abusive language, etc. from their children. This is something you have to be very, very careful about. Parents reaching old age are not a burden. They are an opportunity for you. In the light of Quran and Hadith we learn, أَنِشْكُرْ لِي وَلِوَالِدَيْكَ. Allah equated the shukr that you show to Allah Ta'ala with the shukr that you show to your parents. So, if a person causes dukh, pain, takleef to his parents, the Hadith mentions walid. But dua or curse of a father. However, it means father and mother. Father is mentioned. In other words, the mother enjoys an even greater right than the father. So, if you are disobedient to your father, then it means that you are more likely disobedient to your mother also. One interesting point ulama mentioned, why the father was singled out, because they say a mother is such that her love and her shafqat and her compassion for a child is that even if she had to curse that child in her heart, she will want that curse not to be accepted by Allah Ta'ala. This is why the father is specifically singled out. However, like I said, there's a little bit of detail to this. Fi ba'd al-ahadith, in some ahadith or in some narrations, it's mentioned da'watul walid, not ala waladi. The ala waladi is not there. In other words, in that instance, it will mean sawa'un li waladihi o alayhi. Dua in favor of your child or against your child, both are accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So one is, this hadith will have a broader meaning now. What is the broader meaning? The importance of getting the dua of your parents. The dua a parent makes for their child is very, very likely to be accepted by Allah Ta'ala. So disobedient, the curse of the parents. Obedient, serving them, being a source of happiness and comfort to them, this will lead to a situation where they will make dua in your favor. And that dua also, mustajab, is very, very likely to be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such an extent, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam emphasizes it. He said, la shakka feehim. There's no doubt. There's absolutely no doubt that this dua will be accepted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So just to recap, in safar, in journey, out in the path of Allah, hajj, umrah, whatever it is, that is an ideal opportunity for one's du'as to be accepted, because we are encouraged. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that is the time when du'as are accepted, la shakka feehinna. And the other instance is the du'a of an oppressed, so don't become zalim, don't oppress anyone, and thereby gain the curses of such a person. And the third, the dua of a parent. Babu ma yad'u idha khafa nasan aw ghayrahum. Next chapter Imam Nawawi rahimullah brings is when you fear someone. Sometimes, particularly in those days, journey was often rife with danger. Sometimes from an animal, sometimes from a snake, scorpion. Sometimes there were highway robbers, looters. So all sorts of challenges and potential dangers a person faced when he undertook a journey, particularly in that period. Obviously nowadays also there will be khatrat, there will be other types of danger a person can possibly face when he is on a journey. So is there any special dua Is there any special form of what we call isti'adha? Isti'adha means seeking Allah Ta'ala's protection. So we find in this hadith, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us a dua to be read. There's another dua also, very, very effective, mentioned in the next hadith, but obviously in this hadith we will delve on that dua which is mentioned. Wa Nabi Musa al-Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kana idha khafa qawman qal. Abu Musa Ash'ari radiyallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever he feared anyone, in other words, a potential threat, a potential danger from some people, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, interestingly, like I said, there is another dua. That dua has a much more broader meaning. In other words, whether your fear is from humans or animals or anything, jinnat, sihr, whatever it is. This hadith particularly, if you're fearing some people, in other words, they pose a potential threat or danger to you. What is the dua that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us to read at that time or that juncture? Allahumma inna naj'aluka fi nuhurihim wa na'udhu bika min shururihim. Rawahu Abu Dawud wa Nasa'i bi isnadin sahih. This is a very, very powerful, effective dua that we learn from the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Somebody, you are afraid of someone potentially poses a threat. Sometimes you find yourself in a situation where maybe there's a robber, somebody's about to break in, or some khatra, some danger you are facing from an individual or a group of people. Sahaba, in the battlefield, enemy is in front of them. Obviously that poses a great danger. So what dua Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught them? Allahumma inna naj'aluka fi nuhurihim. O Allah, I place you in front of their throat. Nuhur is the plural of nahar. Nahar in Arabic means the throat. So what is the significance of the throat? We find that particularly in those days, in the battle, or in a physical confrontation, sword fighting, spear, etc., the part of the body that would first be targeted was the throat. So more likely, if somebody had to fire an arrow at his enemy in those days, he would aim for the throat or the chest. So this is why this analogy of using the word nahar, nuhurihim. Allahumma inna naj'aluka fi nuhurihim. When you attack someone also, in those days, the part of the body they would target was the throat. So, ay amamahum tadfa'uhum anna. O Allah, I place you in front of their throat, in other words, in front of them, so that you may defend me from them. Allahumma inna naj'aluka fi nuhurihim. As I mentioned, the throat is highlighted for the various reasons that I mentioned. But obviously this is symbolic language. Doesn't mean physically that you're placing Allah Ta'ala at the throat. This is the reason why the throat is mentioned. Generally in Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his expressions were eloquent. He was afsahul, it was after the Quran, the most eloquent was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So a lot of what he would say would be symbolic, would have hidden analogies, etc. This is why Allahumma inna naj'aluka fi nuhurihim. O Allah, I place you at their throats. Wa na'udhu bika min shururihim. And O Allah, I thereby seek your protection from their evil, from their shar. So it's a simple dua, not difficult to learn also. Whenever you're facing some sort of danger from anyone, Allahumma inna naj'aluka fi nuhurihim. Wa na'udhu bika min shururihim. So we continue.